Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. We have an original show by Jay Fuller, Librarianship Done in an Alternate Reality. Here's episode one of The Librarian, called Overdue.
American Radio Theater is pleased to present a new look at working in a library in another dimension. Written by Jay Fuller, it is clear he has spent too much time listening to books talk to him in the downtown library. Produced and directed by Joy Jackson, we call the series The Librarian, and the first episode of it is Overdue. When the librarian can flay your mind as easily as she can gut you, very little will stand between her and an overdue library book, even a powerful and generally disagreeable wizard.
I was enjoying an ale when she walked through the door of the tavern. I had met thought horrors before, usually with my swords between us, and I was pretty sure she was related. Same gray skin, same fiery red eyes, and same pointed teeth. The severe calf-length dress, bifocals on a chain, and hair tentacles in a bun gave me a turn, though. She pinned me like a mounted butterfly with a stare as she slid the bifocals on and opened a small notebook.
I'm looking for Mercurius Thunderstaff. Where might I find him?
I'm not sure. He'll be by soon, I imagine.
It was just a sheep. You didn't have to flambé the poor thing.
It was running right toward us. It could have run us down and crippled or even killed us. Did you notice how sharp those hooves were?
Oh, sure. Or knitted us sweaters and made us itch ourselves to death.
That's Mercurius, ma'am. The short one?
Don't laugh, oh squat and stuffy. I've seen a herd of those nasty ovines decimate an entire battalion.
Mercurius Hieronymus Thunderstaff. Hieronymus?
Yes?
Big name for such a short guy.
Yes?
Aren't you sure?
Huh? I mean, what?
Aren't you sure who you are?
Well, yes, I am Mercurius. Yes, I'm sure I'm him. Me.
Very well, then. The Wizard's Bible for Dummies. Last checked out to Mercurius Hieronymus Thunderstaff. Not returned. The book is overdue.
Oh, you're a librarian. Let me get it. It's right here somewhere.
Stop! Do not bring that book forth here. It is rather skittish in crowds, as you should know.
Well, yes. The book is physically located in my library at home. We could go back to my place, library.
There is also the subject of library fines owed.
I could buy a horse for this.
You have had the book for some time.
I've taken very good care of it.
These books are not the most reasonable sort. Some of them can be quite demanding, and the library is where they belong.
Yes, but...
The fines, please, Mr. Thunderstaff.
Yes, I... If I might have a moment to, consult my colleagues?
Very well.
What am I going to do? I don't have that much. Smear, Stan, you got to help me.
I have all my coin tied up in investments.
Frankly, your credit isn't that great at the moment.
How am I going to pay these fines? Oh, woe is me.
Woe is I.
Whatever.
I believe the proper response is yes, ma'am.
Mr. Thunderstaff, perhaps we will retrieve the overdue item now.
Yes, Miss...
Overhammer. Lily Overhammer.
Miss Overhammer, of course. My home is a few hours' ride from here, or if you would permit me...
A standard transport spell will suffice. I will be watching you closely. Do not make a mistake, Mr. Thunderstaff.
Letting that book go overdue appears to be mistake enough.
Give him time, Channer. I have every confidence in his ability to make it worse. Oh, Miss Overhammer didn't seem surprised that Smear had been transported to Mercurius's castle as part of the group. However, I was experiencing a fresh stab of fear at being in a close space with a thought horror, and had to suppress the urge to draw every weapon that I had at once, which probably would have resulted in the slicing off of at least one of my own body parts in the process. Whew, I took a deep and calming breath and reminded myself that she could flay my mind, or my body, her choice, before the first blade cleared the sheath, though she probably wouldn't want to ruin her talon polish, a tasteful burgundy, or stain the crisply pressed blouse with my blood, should she opt to gut me. I took another deep, calming breath. Merc's workshop wasn't much different than most wizards' workshops. Too small for everything packed into it, roughly orderly, with a few things bubbling or smoking and occasionally on fire. There were several workbenches along the walls, crowded with bookcases, leaving the center of the room to be taken up by several low chairs and a table. Each bench was dedicated to an individual task or a study. The bench of the study of runes, etchings of same, alchemy, potions, divination, chronomancy, theoretical magic, and of course, his mechanisms. In my opinion, the last bench was by far the most dangerous. Mercurius might be a knowledgeable and powerful wizard, but his engineering and judgment is suspect when it comes to machinery. I have the scars to prove it. He did keep his tools in precise order on the wall behind the bench, though. Miss Overhammer strode into the room from the alcove we'd arrived in and began to scan the books on the shelves.
I'm impressed, Mr. Thunderstaff. The complete Divine Comedy. Most collections from that dimension only include the Inferno.
Bah! Inferno is a decent variation on the Tourist of Hell tribe. But it needs the balance, especially since it's harder than any attendant hell to read in the first place.
Well, good books do take a bit more attention than perhaps, incantation pizzazz. How to Impress the Masses. I do not see my library's book.
Yes. In here.
Merc's library is huge, dim, and drafty. Oh, and very, very dangerous. Two levels of floor-to-ceiling bookcases, most with shelves sporting rings for tethers, many with metal lattices fronting them, and a few shelves fully encased in armor. Most of the shelves were populated by large volumes of large volumes, each tethered to one of the rings along the front edge of the shelf, even the ones in the latticed shelves. Chains tethered, snaking into the armored cupboards. To each side of the large desk were a pair of bookstands, one enclosed in iron. The books were rustling louder than I'd ever heard before, and the sound increased slightly as Miss Overhammer approached one of the lattice-enclosed shelves and peered in.
Well, they seem rather nervous, Miss Overhammer. I don't believe many of them have ever seen a real librarian before.
I've never seen a full copy of Handarin's Grimoire, Oberon's Compendium of Master Spells. Our copy is in a full crystal display, and you have actually placed it with other books. It can be very destructive.
Oh, that bunch has been together a long time. The compendium kind of keeps the others in line, you might say. He's a proud one. Have to chain him to the stand when I get him out. And he snaps clothes on me just out of spite sometimes. Broke my nose once.
And what of my book, The Wizard's Bible for Dummies?
On my desk there. Hang on, let me get it. Give me a moment to put some of the books on the stands away first. They're pretty jumpy.
Very well.
It's okay. It's okay. You're going right back to your own shelf. The librarian isn't here for you. There you are, safe and sound. Stan, will you get Puck?
Yeah, sure. He's under the hood?
Yeah, you know how he is.
He's a good book once you get to know him.
Puck?
The Principles of Unknown Spell Creation. Seems to really like Stan for some reason.
I wouldn't keep him locked up under a hood, wizard.
Have you removed the addendum of theoretical spells?
Of course not. Nor the unsafe spells list. I couldn't do that to it, no matter how schizoid the damn thing is.
The book is complete? You must know that for a non-magic user to handle the book, especially in its unabridged state, is incredibly dangerous.
Hey, Puck! Wake up, you old musty thing!
You can't let her do this.
Oh, this is always fun to watch.
She's done this before?
If you shell quietly, I'll tell you a story. It'll have trees in it.
I think it's a game for both of them.
A game? Between an ancient tome of inestimable magic power and a distinctly mundane example of unremarkability in humans? This is the very definition of irresponsibility.
Yes, yes. Puck could snuff him out like a baby fire scarab, but he never uses any magic, just resists being shelved for a while. They both get a good run.
A good run?
All right, Puck! Come on, Puck!
Stanton's a pretty strong gal, but as you say, she's no match for Puck. She does get him shelved, though, and with surprisingly little damage. Well, to the library, at least. Just watch.
Damn collection of ink blots! I'll tear you up for toilet paper!
See how Puck drags Stan around the vase there? Only bangs her into walls or solid shelving?
Well, yes. Why doesn't she just let go? That would be the intelligent choice, I would think.
And lose the game? Neither of them would enjoy that. And Stan got her legs wrapped around a column. She's anchored, so it shouldn't be too long now.
Gotcha, you old moth-eaten pamphlet!
You okay there, Ranger? I have a new stack of healing potions in the other room.
Promised to tell him a story anyways.
Well, suit yourself, but don't blame me when you stiffen up later.
Jeez, Puck. All the way down the entire length of the table? See if I don't start licking my finger when I turn your pages, buddy. Okay, guys. Hey, have I ever told you the one about the hamadryad I met up in the Norlands? She had the biggest leaves I've ever seen, if you know what I mean. And the knot in her trunk, well, let me tell you.
Well, be at that for hours. The rest of the books love his stories, too. See how they're gathering closer?
Yes, but I... My book, Mr. Thunderstaff?
Oh, of course. Here we are. How's my favorite folio, huh? You've been keeping a good eye on those mean guys? Good, good.
You don't even have it tethered. And I've never seen it act that way.
Ah, wonderful little book. You just have to know how to treat it. It's full of perfectly basic information and loads of common sense, more than most wizards I know, as a matter of fact.
But how could they...
The title says it all, Miss Overhammer. The Wizard's Bible for Dummies. For most of its life, it's been in the hands of imbeciles and idiots that didn't appreciate the standards and sensibilities it's trying to convey. I think you'd be grumpy, too, if that were the only company you kept.
Oh, well, yes, I'm sure you're right, Mr. Thunderstaff. Why, then, do you keep it around? You're probably the most powerful wizard in the entire region, and certainly have no need for a book of its simplicity.
Oh, but I do, Miss Overhammer. Wizarding has got its share of dangers, not the least of which is arrogance. This little book reminds me of why I'm a wizard.
I'm not sure I understand, Mr. Thunderstaff.
Call me Merc, all my friends do. If you allow me, perhaps I can explain it over lunch. I know this great little place in Thulgrest. Serves the best snow bunny stew anywhere.
Turn out she were a pangolin.
Never heard of a were a what?
Pangoli. Scaly antiter. Ah, scales that match her golden hair. And she keeps the pests down, too. Every full moon she go through the house and the garden. No fleas neither, see?
She got a sister?
That's the fourth game you've beat me. I don't know why I agree to learn this game, Enchanter. You must not like humans or rangers very much.
Oh, I like humans well enough, though usually with mustard and a side of horseradish. But I do actually enjoy your company, Stan. If I didn't like you, I would have taught you bridge. Oh, well, look what Pazuzu blew in.
Spades? Someday I'll have to teach you bridge, Stan.
Where have you been for the last 2 days, Shorty?
Well, if you must know, sightseeing. For the most part, Lily's hometown is quite beautiful, and once you get past the volcanism. And it has been a little while since I've been to that branch of the library.
Lily? You mean Miss Overhammer?
Yeah, she's quite a woman. We're going to take a tour of the Three Seas next week. She's never been and has a lot of vacation built up.
And what of the book?
Oh, Lily canceled the overdue fines and let me keep it on a permanent loan.
That's great, Merc.
Well, it seems there actually is a woman who is perfect for him. I'd always wondered.
I'm going to be checking the other signs of the apocalypse if it's all the same to you.
Oh, you guys are just jealous.
Just cautious. Now, isn't it your lead, Chandler?
Oh, so it is.
You have been listening to American Radio Theater's presentation of a new original story, Overdue, in the series The Librarian, written by Jay Fuller. Produced and directed by Joy Jackson, engineering by Ken Leese. In our cast, you heard Barbara Goldman as Stanton Beaumain, Chuck Royalty as Smear, Dan Schindler as Mercurius Thunderstaff, Liz Roach as Lily Overhammer, the librarian and thought horror. Other roles included Linda Rasmussen as a bar patron and Dave Leese as a purring book. Live sound effects by Marilyn Wilt and Linda Rasmussen. Live music by Chad Rinney, with additional music by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com. Playback by Mary Moore Campagna. I'm Greg Porter, your announcer, and this is ART, American Radio Theater.
Here's episode 2 of The Librarian called Bookworms.
American Radio Theater is proud to present an original play by Jay Fuller. If you've ever wondered what it might be like to work in a library in another dimension, full of magic and mayhem, ride along with us in the second episode of The Librarian. It's called Bookworms.
You do know someone is following us.
Of course I do. I am a ranger.
Friend to flora and fauna, the great hugger of trees and undergrowth alike. It would be so much more comforting if you quit trying to hug dangerous things.
Oh, well, you don't always know that till you try, and sometimes it works out.
Not that often.
When you crisp them right away, it does put a damper on my attempts.
I don't crisp them, Stanton. I exercise preemptive prudence. There is a difference.
Sheep is a sheep, no matter how you cook it. Anyways, none of your prudence is necessary for this one. It's a harpy. Probably from the village we passed through last night. Caught sight of him about 2 hours ago, and I think he's trying to get up the courage to catch up.
Not to attack us, I hope. He's not that large a bird. Would hardly make a good lunch between us. And he isn't a harpy, Stanton. He is a carrera. Very different. although they may share a common ancestor.
Whatever. Unless he wants to club us with the book he's carrying, I think we'll be all right. I didn't see any weapon.
Ah, book, eh? Well, a weapon of mass instruction would certainly do some damage to you.
A graveyard! At least it's a small one, so we won't have to walk too far getting around it.
Overgrown, too. It's the well-maintained ones you need to be worried about. Here, there's probably only a herd of aging zombies and ghosts, or their equivalents, depending on its consecration. Maybe a revenant or a pack of ghouls hanging around at worst. Don't be a wimp, Stanton.
But it's always messy, Channer. I'm the one getting splashed with all that gore and guck. Well, you just stand there and draw pretty pictures in the air. You know how hard it is getting monster bits out of chain armor after it's dried?
Well, if it will make you feel better, we'll go around then. So you said he had a book.
Yeah, I didn't see much more than its shape, about the size of one of Mercurius's tomes, but a lot thinner.
Most books are thinner than Merc's books.
It's probably our shadow now, I suppose. We should go back and save him.
Are you sure he needs help? Ooh, he took that zombie out with its own femur. Well done.
You never know when these things can get out of hand. Best to deal with it quickly.
You just don't like zombies.
True, but you know what? That's not a crime.
Ah, but if the undead lobby gets its way...
Well, until then...
Well, you did take out the rest of the zombies, Stan. A rather brute force approach, but falling on them can be effective.
I never saw it coming. That bird is fast.
Even so, you need to quit loafing around in the grass there. It's only a matter of time before the zombies get themselves together. We should put some distance between them and us in the meantime. Let's go, you two.
I'm moving. I need to clean my armor soon, Channer.
We'll find a good spot where we can set up and talk with our new friend without being inconvenienced by the local ruffians.
Our new friend was obviously a bird stock. Stood about to my chin, mid-chest high to smear. His feathers were so black they had a blue sheen to them. The orange beak was short and sharp with a predator's hook. Eyes were set forward, allowing him a good binocular field of vision. He remained silent, but his tension visibly eased as Smear and I went about our well-practiced routine of setting camp. Although he still kept a wary eye on us even as he pitched in to help. With a fire warming a pot of tea and warding off the evening's chill, we sat.
Tea? There you are. My name is Smear. My companion here is Stanton.
I am Eric.
You followed us from town.
Couldn't be for our sparkling company or dashing good looks. Smear's at least.
I have a book. You have a book, too.
Oh, well, yeah. Here it is. The Adventures of Vertimore Mackleford. I live such a full and dashing life that I rarely get time to read.
Since when?
Since always.
If you consider damp slogs through wet forests dashing, then I guess so.
Here, Eric. Would you like to read it?
Yes, you may read mine.
Oh, thank you.
It looks like a dwarven child's alphabet book.
Mm-hmm. A is for axe, all covered in red. B is for beast. We whack until dead.
Sounds like one, too.
This word, what does it mean?
Which word? Portent. An omen foretelling something will happen. I used to think it was a piece of bad canvas. And this word? Accumulate. That's a long word for gather. I got him settled in the tent. What do you think?
A bird of few words.
He was sure adding to that pile in a hurry. Smartest harpy I've ever met. Most polite one, for that matter.
I told you, Stan, he's a Carrera. They're pretty shy to outsiders. You saw their village. If they didn't need metals, I doubt they'd trade with the rest of the world at all.
Oh, but his book. Oh, someone left it.
Or gave it to him, yes. It's probably the only book in the village. My bet is that if there had been anything more advanced, he would have been carrying it. Did you see how hungry he was to read yours?
Yeah, and then my book.
Yes, yes, he was following your book. I don't know how he intended to steal it. As disorganized as your pack is, he wouldn't be able to find it.
He wasn't going to steal it. I made sure he knew I saw him behind us, but wasn't going to bother him. Yeah. So what is it about a book that he'd follow into the wilds? He tried to go through a graveyard, for Kisher's sake. He's obviously never been very far from home.
The contents, I think. His alphabet book showed him the potential for something more than a working book or ledger. You and your book, Stanton, confirmed for him that books can be far bigger worlds than mere words suggest.
I'd give it to him if I could, but it's a library book. And you know how Miss Overhammer is about me losing books.
Yes, Mercurius mentioned that librarian Lily was considering pre-charging you for losing a book when you checked it out.
At least I lose them in the most exotic places possible.
There was the one you threw at that golem tiger.
Yeah, but she got that one back.
In several pieces and covered in slobber.
Yeah, I was surprised at that, too. Who knew that golems slobbered?
You could have bought a small castle for what you paid in replacement costs to the library, Stanton.
You know, I've got much more enjoyment from the books than I would of a castle. Drafty old things. Well, if I can't give him a book, then let's go get him one of his own.
Quite right. Eric probably keeps bird hours, so we'd best expect an early morning. What a rickety old bridge. There's no better way to get to Merc's estate. I usually transport to Wizard Mercurius Castle directly, Eric. I prefer not to deal with all this nature.
A wizard?
The most powerful wizard I know of, yes, and a very grumpy one, too. But you needn't worry, Eric. Underneath all the gruffness, the gnome is quite a softie, and he's got one of the best libraries anywhere and loves to show it off.
A library?
Isn't that a troll?
Why, yes, it is a troll under the bridge, Smear. And yes, I'll be happy to save you. Now, if you're going to crowd behind me like that, then you have to stop pushing and give me some room. I'll angle towards the bridge, and when I say so, you and Eric run.
Oh.
Got it?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'll wave my swords around to keep him at bay. I can be pretty menacing. Uh-huh. Go! Oh. Hey. Hey, how's it going, Harley? Long time no see.
No bad, Stan. You sure put the fear in them, you did.
No, that was all you, Harley. I just neglected to disabuse them of the notion. Hey, thanks for playing along, big guy. That was the most fun I've had in weeks. Hey, are you still growing? You looked only about 8 feet tall last time I saw you. Yeah, the tusks look great, too, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I sharpened them myself.
How's the bridge business going?
Got all treated bridges, all repaired on solid as dwarf steel days. I kept them looking rickety so folks go slow across them, catch them easier that way. Master Merc says there's enough room for a family if I want.
Oh, that's great, Harley. Sounds like the old prune likes you. Any prospects?
I go out with an ogre gal from Thalgrest, but sometimes, nothing serious.
Okay, well, if I meet a nice troll girl, I'll send her your way, you big lug. In the meantime, I better get up to that rock pile Merc calls a castle before he lets the cat out of the bag, or rather, the troll from under the bridge. I'll probably stay in the orchards while I'm here. Stop by if you think to. By the five aardvarks, it is nice to get out of all that.
By your expression, I can see that Merc told you about Harley.
Hmm.
Well, a good run does you good, Smear. Hmm. All that transporting makes you flabby. Oh, I've been dreaming about this chair for 2 days.
About time you got here, Ranger.
Nice to see you, too, your surliness. I see your fashion sense went off its medication. You look like one of those orange road safety cones they use in Thulgrass. About the right size, too. The little hammer and wrench pattern is a nice touch, I must say.
What? Oh, this. Lily bought it for me. Said I was burning holes in my good robes, so I needed one just for tinkering.
You would save far more than just your robes if you quit messing with those mechanisms altogether.
And gain our undying appreciation. My shoulder hasn't been quite the same since you had me test that booster pack.
Well, it got you to the top of the tree, didn't it?
Not close enough to grab, unfortunately. And it was the coming down part that was the real problem. You kind of forgot to work that out, didn't you?
No pain, no gain.
If it was true, I would have gained a lot more than a wrenched shoulder and several bruises.
Whatever. Get over it, nature boy.
Oh, speaking of Lily, how is Miss Overhammer?
Oh, quite well, quite well. She took over as chief librarian while you were gone. The coup was nearly bloodless.
Oh, a difference from past promotions. Most of management is usually retired. I had no idea she aspired for the position.
Well, it kind of was my fault. The old chief's fault, really. But, well, I mentioned I was buying a book, and she got real mad.
Mad at you for wanting to buy a book?
Well, yes.
And you have absolutely no idea why she was mad about that?
It wasn't really a big deal.
Did Chief Librarian Bleeg happen to be the nearly part of Nearly Bloodless?
You were buying a book from Bleeg, weren't you?
Well,
you have got to be kidding me.
Spell juxtapositions, never fat finger a cast chain again. It's an out-of-print classic. How was I supposed to know it was a library book?
Oh, the chief librarian selling books isn't the least bit suspicious to you?
And you didn't think to run it past your librarian girlfriend? No wonder she's pissed. You're damn lucky your guts are too short for garters, Merc.
Yeah, she may not be done house cleaning. I don't know how I'm going to make it up to her.
Merc, what does a librarian love more than a book?
Garters?
See Eric?
He's looking at my books. So what?
Librarians love readers.
Merc's translocation spell deposited us in a large tiled area full of people and other assorted monsters. Behind us was a line of doors that I knew led outside to a huge portico and an expanse of stone stairs that ran down to a large square and then to the street. In front of us, we faced a line of checkout and information desks. Beyond them was the Thulgrest Public Library, Central Branch. Well, welcome to the library, Eric. There's more knowledge here than anywhere else in the known world. From pamphlets on weaponizing your garden to books that will try to enslave you when you open them. Well, yeah, you know, all books really try and do that. I'm a slave to a good story, but that one's a bit more proactive about it.
Can I read one?
Oh, we need to get you a library card first, kiddo. Then you can read all you want. Now, stick close. We don't want to lose you in this crowd.
Let me cast a quick glamour.
Oh! Whoa, Merc!
Yeah, that should get us through the throng quickly. One sees an 8-foot-tall gnome so rarely that one tends to get out of its way.
I hate it when you cast that crap on me, Chanter. I'm still the same damn size, so people are literally talking over my head.
But you do make for such an arresting and terrifying figure.
Well, there is that. Let's get moving. The sooner we're out of this mob, the better.
Oh, that is a nasty old book. He likes to flop open to the most lurid anatomical drawings he has when there's a nymph of any kind around. Best to keep a perverted rag banded tight.
Does anyone exercise the demon out of the geography stacks?
He was a patron doing genealogy. Said he'd heard someone had dug up an idol of his great uncle out east somewhere. I got him sorted.
It's not often you see the librarians in full armor.
Well, there's just been a leadership transition. Give them a couple of weeks and they'll lose the armor and be back to just carrying their usual weapons.
You ought to see them in action. When they absorbed the Suitland's public libraries, they didn't even need to unsheathe their swords.
Oh, that's not exactly action, Stanton, but I'm not surprised. With some of the most learned magic users and assassins on the library system's staff, few want to be looking at the pointy end of their spears and wit.
So that's what Chief Librarian Bleeg looks like. Quite the decorative spike his head is mounted on, too. That is him, right?
Oh, yes, it is. The name plaque wedged in his mouth is indeed his own. I agree, the scrollwork etching on the base is very well done. Integrating blood channels into the design is a superb touch.
Oh, I bet that's Miss Overhammer's new office. The one with the doors ripped off its hinges.
Shut up, you two. Where's Eric? There you are. Ever meet a thought, horror?
No.
Well, don't worry about it. She looks scary, but as long as you don't have any books overdue, you're fine.
Other than the red eyes, talons, and double row of sharpened teeth, she's a regular librarian, Eric. You want to read the books, so she's going to like you.
Is that you, Mercurius?
Yes, dear. I have someone you should meet. He's a Karabi, Karoti, Curlin...
Oh, Karura? Why didn't you say so? What do we have here? I'm Miss Overhammer.
I am Eric.
Good to meet you, Eric. Why don't we go into my office and get comfortable? I've never met a Karura before, and certainly not one with a book. That's your old travel dictionary, isn't it, Stan?
Yes, ma'am. Merc dug it out for him.
Very good. Much better than buying them, I should think. Have a seat, everyone. Don't mind the bloodstains. They should be dry by now. They won't be redecorating until next week, I'm afraid.
Go ahead.
No, you first.
Oh, right.
So tell me, Eric, why have you come to the library today?
Actually, it was...
I got this.
Oh, color me confident.
Well, Miss Overhammer, Eric joined us on the road to Merck's because he wanted to read my book. He's really smart. He wants to read more books. And we told Merck, and he immediately thought of the library and of you. He was telling us all the way here about how good reading habits have long-term positive effects on all aspects of our lives.
So, Beaumain, you are telling me that it was the wizard Mercurius' idea to bring Eric to me?
He fairly insisted on it, ma'am.
You're not a half-bad liar, Stanton. Or you would be if you weren't trying to lie to a flayer of minds.
It was worth a shot, Miss Overhammer. Merc told us about the book he bought, and...
Now I can take it here from here, Stan. Thanks for trying. I'm really sorry, Lily. I didn't mean for all of this to happen.
I felt a bit sorry for Merc, but he stepped in it all by himself when he agreed to buy that book from the former, late Chief Librarian Bleeg. When your main squeeze is a librarian, you should know to check these things out. As far as Eric was concerned, the bird was a lot calmer than I would have been in his place. He absorbed and accepted new things, people, and ideas readily, and was patently curious about everything. At the moment, however, like me, he'd kind of zoned out of the conversation and was just pulling a book out of a tub that had probably been shoved near the seating area during the last still apparent change of leadership discussion. He opened it on his lap and he turned to the first page. Reaching for his small dictionary, he suddenly went still. And before I could blink, one of his taloned fingers was poised next to a small hole through the pages. A worm fuzzed into existence just inside the hole, and Eric dipped the talon in, hooked it out, flipped it into his beak, and crunched it.
At least I thought that's what happened. It occurred so quickly. He did the same thing twice more. Talon poised, worm fuzzed in, hook, flip, and crunch. I wasn't the only one fascinated by it, as I saw Miss Overhammer watching Eric too, perhaps noticing the lull in the conversation. Eric looked up, his eyes widening.
You're quite adept at that, Eric. You've had practice.
I'm sorry, Miss Overhammer. Were you saving them? I shouldn't have
Oh, no, Eric. That was just fine. In fact, we don't want the worms in the book at all. You've done that before?
Oh, yes, ma'am. There are phase worms near my village. These are like them, but smaller.
Thankfully so. Are there any more worms in that book?
No, Miss Overhammer.
Are you certain?
Yes, ma'am. I see where they will cross, and there are no more crossing points in this book. There are no crossing points in this other book, but there are in the rest of the books in this box.
I see. Would you like to work for the library, Eric?
Here? With books? Can I read them?
Not quite all of them. Not right away, at least. We have books that give even Mercurius difficulty. Quite the rough customers. Fortunately, there are enough left over to fill several of our lifetimes. Excuse me a moment. Lewis, are you there?
I thought that was a heat vent in the wall. Somebody walled up in there?
Of course not. Just the rats.
Wait, there's rats in the walls?
Well, they came with the building and occasionally with the books. The library just puts them to work. In a building this large and covered with a few dimensions and realities, it's a fast and mostly reliable communication system.
Lewis?
Three! Please, three!
You can finish your Tai Chi later. Right now, I need you to find Emily and send her here.
Wee.
Right, then. Now, Eric, unless you would like to live with one of these folks... No, never mind. You can stay here at Central.
Hey, now, just a minute.
Close to the books.
And convenient for your schooling as well.
School?
You will need a good education to read some of the books you will be reading, Eric.
Wow.
Come in, Emily. Eric, this is Emily. She will help you get settled.
Hello. You are a kobold?
How do you do, Eric? Welcome to the library. Yes, I am. I've never met a Karura before, especially one with a book.
If you'd get Eric situated in quarters, please. Get him a good dinner, too. No telling what these three have been feeding him for the last few days. First thing, though, is to get him a library card. Back Hall's endorsement. We'll introduce him to the library officially tomorrow.
Very good, Miss Overhammer.
Once you have your library card, Eric, Emily will help you find some books you'll enjoy reading. We'll discuss your work and school schedules tomorrow, after you've settled in a bit. Now you two run along now. And Emily, kama jinsi nuvu.
Yes, ma'am.
Wait, can we visit? I mean, maybe Eric can come for a weekend sometime?
Of course, Stanton.
I'd like that.
Oh, we could take Eric on some educational field trips.
Don't push it, Beaumain. But of course, you three troublemakers can always visit Eric. In fact, I'm counting on it.
Let's go get that library card now, then go find something to eat.
What is a back hall's endorsement?
It means shortcuts. Wonderful shortcuts.
He sees dimensions.
Yes, Emily is one of our best enchanters. She'll be a good gauge on how powerful he is and if he's trainable, or if he even wants to be trained. I've never met a Karura before, so for all I know, phase sight is a species trait. Did you see any evidence of it when you passed through his village?
No, but we weren't looking for it either. Ready for another trip south, Ranger?
Samir and I debated the route and relative merits and hazards of taking Mercurius along with us.
While Mercurius was busy agreeing with anything and everything Miss Lily was telling him, soon enough we were walking down the wide stone steps from the library to the streets.
She didn't exactly forgive you, Wizard.
She did agree to dinner.
Ah, worked out pretty well for Eric. A job exterminating the phase bookworms, room and board, full-time school, too.
Being paid for out of my coffers.
And you'll insist on a top-notch education.
You should be glad about that, Wizard. She might have begun his studies with internal gnome physiology. Her office was already decorated for vivisection.
Very funny, Elf.
Well, rather than having to listen to your plaintive bleats and watch you grovel, I could have had a sandwich.
Smear, I'm shocked. I thought you only ate free-range gnome.
True enough, Stan. This one's pretty fatty anyways. There we are. Dobbin's Diner and Specialty Meats. I suppose a kebab will have to do.
You've been listening to American Radio Theater's presentation of the second episode of the series, The Librarian, called Bookworms. Produced and directed by Joy Jackson, engineering by Ken Lease. In our cast, you heard Barbara Goldman as Stanton Beaumain the Ranger, Chuck Royalty as Smear, a high elf enchanter, Dan Schindler as Mercurius Thunderstaff, the gnomely wizard, Dave Lease as Eric the Karura, Liz Roach as Lily Overhammer, the librarian and thought horror, Mary Moore Campagna as Emily, the kobold enchanter. Librarians played by Karen Lease, Ken Lease, and Beth Schlansky, with Pat McNally as Harley the Troll. Live sound effects by Marilyn Wilt and Linda Rasmussen. Live music by Chad Rinney, with additional music by Kevin McLeod from Incompetech.com. Playback by Mary Moore Campagna. I'm Greg Porter, your announcer, and this is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
Trumpet wailing to the four winds now brings you the music of Red Nichols and his famous Five Pennies, coming to you from Sardi's near the world-famous corner of Hollywood and Vine. Yes, NBC presents Dixieland music at its best from Hollywood, California. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again from Sardi's Restaurant here on Hollywood and Vine in the heart of Hollywood, California. Music by Red Nichols and his Five Pennies. First of all, it's a little tune written by Hoagie Carmichael and Andy Sechrist way back in 1928. Here's the Manhattan Rag. Thanks very much, Red. Very fine. The Manhattan Drag, a quick little opener for our program tonight. Right now, it's medley time here at Sardi's. First of all, on the first selection, it's the featuring the bass sax of Joseph Rushton and the piano of Bobby Hammack. On the second part of our medley, we feature the trumpet solo of Red Nichols. Here's I Don't Know Why and When Your Lover Is Gone. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Red Nichols and his Five Pennies entertaining from Sardi's here on Hollywood and Vine in the heart of Hollywood, California. Well, it's a bit of a collector's item coming up right now, recorded by Red Nichols and the boys back in 1928 by Brunswick. Here's their arrangement of the Riverboat Shuffle. Thank you. Yes, mighty cute, the Riverboat Shuffle.
Gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please have a look at our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. You know, we put up a new one every month. Hey, see you next time.